We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, we're back. And so now I'm going to play a clip from the Dan Dockett show today where he was talking to Tom Crean about whether or not Oladipo did indeed say the things that J. Michael reported.
Well, Coach, you talked to him. Did he say those things?
He said no. He said no.
Is that right?
Not like that. That's what he said. I mean, not like that. I mean, he gave me an example of I don't even know where it comes from, right? Because he said, like, the Knicks weren't even in the bubble and we didn't play the Raptors. And obviously, they played the Heat. But I think he was more taken back about, like, why would somebody say that, not address it with him? But in his mind, to answer to your question, he said he didn't say those things.
See, that's
and
the biggest.
Having relationships with other guys, you know that. I mean, having relationships.
Of course.
He talked to me about, after the Miami series, talking to Bam Adebayo for a while after the game because of a relationship. I mean, unless somebody, like, actually heard him say it and puts their name to it, that's a tough thing, right? I mean, that's a very tough thing. And I think in his mind, I mean, he even got, to be honest with you, Dan, I mean, I asked him a couple different times, and by the end of it, he was a little ticked off that I was asking. But I said, I'm not asking out of guilt. I'm asking out of you getting in front of this. And he said he didn't do those things.
Well, that's interesting there. So, Tom Crean, I believe that he did have that conversation with Victor Oladipo. There's no doubt about it. But I think that, like I said in the first segment, I really believe Victor Oladipo just needs to come out and admit that these are not true and that he did not say those things. Like, just come out. Don't have Tom Crean do it for you. But I can see why he's frustrated. But it literally took, what? I think J. Michael dropped that article around 8 o'clock this morning. Tom Crean's on Dan Dockett's show at like 1:15, 1:20, something like that. So it took less than like 4 or 5 hours to get out and try to defend him. So to me, it's just like, you know, Vic, just put something out on social media. We know that you have you're present on social media. There's no doubt about it. But anyway, then today, J. Michael joined JMV on the Ride with JMV on 1070thefan.com. And this is Jay talking about his sources and how he came up with the story before reporting it.
And I'm going to tell you something. I never got pushback. And I went to people who, around the league, who I thought would say, man, that didn't happen. That's not true. You know, I mentioned three teams in there. That's false. I never got pushback on one thing. I never got pushback on one thing at all. The only thing that the other thing that I took out of the story that I originally was going to put in was, I know there was a person or two who wasn't happy about him being away from the team, participating in Masked Singer. But I knew other people who thought it wasn't a big deal because he was injured, he couldn't practice anyway, and they said, you know, that's really not that big of a deal. And I thought, you know what, that's not fair. But it had to be something where there was a consensus. Yes, this happened. And so if people are wondering, oh, this is one person or two people, if you look at the story and read it, there are multiple sources in different areas. And I would go as high as probably 12 to 15 people who I talked to around the league who verified every single detail that I have in that piece.
Okay, so I guess if you're going to say that you don't believe J. Michael, because truth of the matter is, he did not speak to Oladipo about it. Right there, he said he got 12 to 15 sources around the league. But I think if you can get 12 to 15 different sources to talk about it, that should be enough to come out with a story and report it like he did. Now, I understand sometimes it's frustrating because players will push back on the reports that come out, but what are they going to do? If Victor came out and said, yeah, I did talk to Bam Adebayo and said I wanted to play with the Miami Heat, or if I did come out and talk to Kyle Lowry and said I wanted to play with the Toronto Raptors, that's going to look terrible. So, really the players, what are they going to do? They're going to deny it. And the agent or the agents got to make sure that they talk to their players to say the right thing publicly. But reporters have to do their job and report the news they hear, whether we like it or not as fans. They're doing their jobs. I don't think J. Michael's been in this business for as long as he has been just to report nonsense to get clicks. I'm sorry. I understand that some people believe that. But he's been working a long time on the story. He waited on it. He sat on it for a while. He has more to say here. So here's J. Michael talking about reaching out to Oladipo's agent to get comments from him before releasing the story, which is pretty cool.
Hey, I told his people, his agent, Aaron Turner, because you see in the story, I said Aaron Turner did not respond. I said, look, via text multiple times and via multiple phone calls and left messages. I have something on Victor. It deals with the chemistry, what happened with the Pacers. Some of the things don't reflect greatly on him. It's not necessarily it's nothing that, claims that he committed a crime or he's a bad person. Just that it's some things that I think you'd be well, it would serve you well to respond. And I never got responses. What I did get back was, I'll call you back, and no one ever called me back. So it got to the point where I felt like maybe there was a thought that if they didn't respond, I wouldn't be able to run the story. When the whole point that I was doing was saying, look, you need to have some sort of response. So I think at some point maybe he will, but he can't have Tom Crean and other people speaking on his behalf. He has to speak, but also he has to speak and allow for pushback to challenge some of those things that he says, because I have details beyond even what you see in the story, and I even held things back. I thought this was a pretty scaled-down version of some things that I thought went on with the team this year. I think he would be better served to do that.
Well, that's interesting. Why did J. Michael hold back in the article? Well, I hope maybe that Jay will reveal that the rest of the story, maybe within the next week or so. But, maybe he just felt like he didn't want to go down that path. But all I can say right there is, he reached out to the agent. They just let it kind of blow over. So what are you supposed to do about that? That's just the way they handled it. Jay reached out, and he ran the story anyway. And so now they're upset about it. But like Jay said, Oladipo, and I said this at the beginning, he's got to come out and say something. Until he does, it's going to be all on him. So then JMV does kind of ask Jay what he thinks the future is for Oladipo with this team. Does he think the Pacers make a move before the season starts? That whole situation. So Jay talks about the hurdles that it'll be that for the Pacers to make a deal with some of these teams that were earlier connected to him. And then he also talks about Miles Turner in this as well as someone that teams are inquiring about. So here is what Jay Michael had to say about Oladipo's future.
There's a 80%, 90% chance that he's gone before the season starts, even more than that. But I think from what I've gathered, some options or what you thought were options aren't there anymore or won't be there. I don't think the Knicks are going to be there. I was told that Leon Rose, who's now president of Knicks, who Oladipo fired a couple of years ago, didn't like the way that kind of transpired and went down, and that might ultimately cancel out his pathway to New York. I don't think the Miami Heat, look, before the Miami Heat made it to the finals with the roster they have now, Oladipo was a popular name. I reported in July that he really wanted to go to Miami. Do they really need to spend a max contract on Oladipo based on what we saw from Miami? No. So I just think certain options have dried up. And so maybe the reason why it's more likely that he comes back at least to start the season is that maybe I'll put at 50-50. It's just because it's a matter of options. Maybe the Pacers can't get enough for him in the market, and they'd rather sit on him, let him start playing again, hope he plays well, and then move on from him. I think that's more of a possibility than maybe it was before. But I think this is a big unknown. The free agency is unknown. How things are going to is there going to be a lot of movement? Is there going to be no movement? The Pacers only have a few million dollars, $7-8 million to play with under the cap, that sort of thing. And now you're coming out of COVID, decreased revenues. Do you really want to spend a lot of money on free agency this year? I don't think a lot of teams like the Pacers would want to. So I think that factors in. But, I think ultimately, you know, the player who has the most value in the market is Miles Turner. It's not Victor Oladipo. They're fielding far more calls and interest on Turner, from what I understand, than they are on Victor Oladipo at this moment.
And I think that that's a great representation of Miles Turner as a person. And what he is as a character on the court, because he's a really good guy. And the fact that Victor Oladipo's sister kind of threw him under the bus, confirming that she believed he'd be one of the guys lying about the whole situation, telling J. Michael that Victor said this to opposing teams players, like that was just way out of line to me. So yeah, I mean, we've talked about multiple trade ideas on this podcast, probably way too many to interest you guys anymore with our trade ideas, so we're not even going to go down that path. But what I will say is it's more than likely that one of them is going to get moved. Turner obviously has more value. It's a weird situation with him and Sabonis. You know, J. Michael did come on Twitter after this whole conversation and said, look, one thing that's really being overlooked is there's been some talks in there. I think Charlotte was involved as a team that has interest in Miles Turner as well. Some three-team trade talks as well. But, I mean, if you look at what Victoria Oladipo kind of hinted at with Miles Turner and the whole drama situation with Turner being the one lying about, you know, Oladipo talking to opposing teams, imagine them getting traded together like everybody suggested. That would be awkward as well. So, really, I'm sure in a couple weeks, this will all blow over. Whatever happens, happens. But I think that it's interesting from a standpoint of, why did this report come out now? Why is Oladipo not denying it? Why is Oladipo not saying anything? How do the Pacers go about this? Look, at the bottom line, they got to handle this internally. Vic, whether he comes out or says something or not, he's got to talk to Miles. He's got to talk to the entire team and just say, let's put this behind us. We got a goal to go out there and, you know, move on in the playoffs because we've been eliminated the last, you know, 4 years in the first round. So they got to figure something out to where they can get past this whole situation. But it's interesting, and I want to talk with Tyler Smith from Indy Sports Legends about this whole thing. So he's going to join me next segment to discuss the whole Oladipo situation. But yeah, I'm just a little bit dumbfounded by everything that's going on. And Vic, whatever happens, you know, it happens. I'm going to be a fan of this Pacers team. I think we all be fans of this Pacers team, whether Vic's on the roster or not. But I do think that you're going to hear in my conversation with Tyler Smith that I'm ready to move on. I just can't imagine what this next 7 months would look like, what these next 7 months will look like if Oladipo is still on this team and things do not get any better. So anyway, I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, you'll hear my conversation with Tyler Smith, and we'll wrap this show up. Thanks so much, guys. All right, everybody. Joining me right now on Setting the Pace, it's our good friend Tyler Smith from Indy Sports Legends. Tyler, not exactly the kind of day you were expecting from the Pacer side of things. Can I say that's right?
Yeah, I was expecting a nice and quiet day just to enjoy my coffee, get ready for the weekend, but things change pretty quickly.
Absolutely. I mean, I was actually kind of looking forward to some Colts Thursday night football, just relax, sit back, watch some football and just kind of get my mind off basketball until the draft comes here next week. But J. Michael comes out with this article on the Indy Star. We're going to be talking about it today. And I'm just curious, you know, when you saw that article, what was your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts, you know, it's another example of, you know, something happening where it doesn't look like it's going to end well. I don't want to sit here and say that, you know, this proves that there's a 100% chance that Oladipo won't be back or that, you know, all these things are true. But it's just another thing in a long list of things that have been happening for several months now that just really make you, you know, believe that there's some truth to this. And, you know, I think Twitter fans would know that I've been kind of in denial of all of it. And part of it is my, you know, my fandom of Oladipo from his IU days. But, you know, my time in the locker room with the Pacers watching them and just seeing how different they were with Vic compared to Paul George in those last couple of years, and just never in a million years dreaming that this guy would want out or that this guy would, you know, do some of the things that have been reported. So, you know, even though the signs have been there, it's still pretty shocking to me.
Well, and that's kind of the thing, because you've been in the locker room, you know, the feathery guy that Oladipo is, you know, always singing songs, always having a good time. And it's been kind of reported now that he's been kind of a moody person, going back to Orlando, going to Oklahoma City for that 1 year he was there, and now in Indiana. It seems like he's just a little moody. I'm not really sure what to take from that, but it's I've seen people that have covered both the Thunder and the Magic say that Oladipo was like that when he was on those teams. So it's just a little bit frustrating, but I got to ask, because a lot of people are always going to compare the situation to Oladipo to what Paul George and the Pacers went through about 4 years ago. So do you happen to feel like it's going down that road, or do you think that this could be handled a little bit differently?
I wish I knew, honestly. I think that there's so many different scenarios that can still play out, and we're obviously, you know, it's 2020, so everything is crazy as it is. I mean, we're talking, you know, a ramp up of the draft, free agency, and trades, and they could be playing ball in a little over a month. So many things could happen, and including just with Victor himself. I've been saying that this offseason, you know, the shortened offseason, since they got a coach, everything falls on what they do with Oladipo. They got to be the ones that have those conversations behind closed doors. And I would still not completely rule out the fact that he could be here, and then maybe he has another mood swing, and maybe he plays well, and he gets some of that passion back, and maybe, you know, regains the trust from his teammates. Because I'll tell you what, in those first couple years in Indiana, his teammates absolutely adored him. I've never seen a team come together around a leader as much as they did for him. So whatever changed, you know, after the injury, I'm not really sure. There's a whole list of things that could happen, but right now, based on today's reporting, it doesn't look good for him returning. But then you know, things get even trickier, because Kevin Pritchard, you trade a guy just to trade a guy, because if that stuff was true and he would disrupt the locker room. But what if it makes your team worse? You know, the Pacers are trying to compete this year. They got new coaching staff. Maybe there's a little friction, but a lot of NBA locker rooms have friction.
Well, I was going to say, you brought up a good point about, you know, his teammates from 2 years ago really liked him. How many of those guys even are still on the team outside of Sabonis and Turner? TJ Leaf?
Yeah, maybe Aaron Holiday. Who knows? It could be just because the team was winning and, you know, his personality is more infectious when he's, you know, the face of the team and things are going well. I really don't know, but I just know those guys, they rallied around him like you wouldn't believe. And you know, even Brogdon and some of those guys had wonderful things to say about him early on, but something definitely changed, and it could have been an agent kind of deal. It could have been, you know, he may, as some reports come out, that maybe he was upset with how the Pacers handled him being hurt, playing hurt, and then getting, you know, injured more severely. But it's tough. I mean, I'll ask you that question. What if Kevin Pritchard, if the only offers he's getting for Vic make the team clearly worse, do you make a deal just to make a deal for chemistry's sake, or do you hope things come together? You got a guy who is in a contract year, and he's probably going to ball out. So that's a tough call, isn't it?
Well, I mean, here's my predicament. It's, does he play for himself or does he play for the team? Because if you keep him on the roster and he's only playing to get his numbers up and try to prove to everybody, hey, I'm worthy of a contract, how does that, you know, mess up chemistry? How does that mess up team flow? I'm not saying it will. I'm not saying he'll do that. But what if he does approach it that way? You know, what is his mentality when it comes to approaching this upcoming season, this upcoming, you know, free agency that he has in 2021? Because we know Victor's a very charismatic guy. A lot of players around the league like him. He's fun. He's energetic. I mean, you've been talking about it with him in the locker room. I guess my thing is, like, I'm just tired of talking about it, and I don't want to sit here and talk about it for seven more months if the Pacers are going to move on or keep him, because it's just going to get over the top. He's going to get tired of answering questions. Every person is going to read into every little thing that he does. If he likes something on Instagram or Twitter, if he responds a certain way during a game, I mean, I'm telling you, people are going to be watching him like a hawk. So I think really, if I'm Kevin Pritchard, I've got to sit down and I've got to talk to the guys that I think are going to be here long-term. And right now it appears that Sabonis, TJ Warren, and Malcolm Brogdon just be like, How are you guys feeling about this? You know, are you guys excited to come and play with him next year, or, you know, are you a little bit hesitant? Like, try to get a feel from them, because according to Jay Michael on that article, he really pointed out how much the franchise and the management really likes Malcolm Brogdon and how he's kind of taken over as that leader. So there is probably some tension there between Malcolm and Victor, and we can ignore it, but I'm sure when you have a guy that's been the leader for the last 2 years, you bring someone else in, Victor's not playing, all of a sudden there's a new voice that people are listening to, I'm sure that that can cause some issues. So that's why I think, in my personal opinion, they can't bring him back to start the season. I mean, I don't even care what the offer is. The offers aren't going to be that great anyway. You might get a better offer towards a deadline, but is it worth sacrificing so much team chemistry and some turmoil within your team? I don't think it is, but this is something the Pacers have to figure out internally, and not something that, you know, we're not going to know. I'm just making a guess.
Yeah. And they don't have a lot of time. And, you know, I see that point brought up quite a bit about the trade deadline, but the thing is, if you're trying to compete, which obviously if you keep him on the roster, you're signaling even more that, you know, we're trying to win this year. How many guys on contending teams get dealt at the deadline? I mean, it does happen. Maybe yeah. It's like an all-star for an all-star, you know, expiring contract, or, you know, take on a contract type situation, but it's rare. And so I think they got to decide, you know, like you said, either they're going to run it back and hope things change in the locker room. I still, you know, the fan in me would still hope that there's, you know, if they sit down and Oladipo, you know, if he could actually come clean, you know, I see a lot of people talking about that too. Like, just send out a tweet like, hey, this isn't true, or I'm fully committed to this team. He just won't do it. And obviously his sister's tweeting about it. So he knows that it's out there. And he's like, I don't know, you know, that Fat Joe interview is like, I don't know where the rumors come from. I can't control it. Yes, you can. You can control it.
That's what annoyed me so much about him using Tom Crean. Like, Tom Crean's like, hey, Vic, can I text Dan Dockage and see if I can come on a show to stick up for you? And Crean literally said, Vic said, please do. Nobody else is. Victor, if you would just say, look, I didn't do this, or I'm a Pacer, I want to be here, I'm not even worried about the rumors, I'm going to play out my contract and we'll talk about it when the season's over. Like, if he just came out and said anything, then I think people would be a little bit more hush-hush about it. But the problem is, you have this article come out this morning. The first thing Victor should have done is, this is not true. He did not talk to me about this. I don't know where he got this. Like, he could totally flip this on Jay Michael if he wanted to. But no.
Yeah, his agent could have. His agent had 2 weeks to respond from what we read.
Yeah, and it's like he went in his interview, which you're going to hear clips from that in the first segment if you didn't listen to that part already. But I got a clip where Jay Michael was like, I literally respond. I reached out to him. He gave me, you know, I'll get back with you. I'll get back with you. I'll get back with you. And it's just like, what in the heck? Like, why in the world did they not get back to him? I mean, if the reporter's coming to you, here's what I'm running with. It's going to cost, you know, I'm going to talk about Vic's team chemistry issues, and you decide that you're not going to, you know, maybe just you're going to deflect it and let it just be. Well, hey, then you're going to have to suffer the consequences of, when this thing comes out, not being ready, because it's almost like he was blindsided by what was said, and he's all upset that people feel this way about him. But, you know, I don't think that Jay would just make this up. I know some people like to give him some crap on Twitter and say they don't believe what he's saying, but I don't think Jay is one of those guys that really is just going to say stuff to say stuff.
Yeah, and here's the problem. When there's radio silence from somebody, that leaves everyone the opportunity to assume. And so One of the assumptions right now that I have in my mind is that Victor is going to use this as a way to maybe get out, and a way to justify it. Mm. Maybe he's not happy in Indiana, and maybe he's looking for those little opportunities to say, hey, they ganged up on me. The fan base turned on me. They don't want me here. Like, I need to look elsewhere. I'm left to that assumption unless he tells me otherwise.
Well, let me ask you this, because when that report first came out, I think Bleacher Report like reshared it or whatever. And then his sister Victoria said something about his teammates lying or something like that. Somebody then called out Miles Turner, and she put the zip lip emoji with her hands in the air. And then Turner replied and said, oh, it's like that. So, I mean, obviously she had to have talked to Victor about it, been like, what are all these things going on? Like, you know, just probably upset for him because she doesn't want to see her brother go through this. But why would she come out there and say, oh, his teammates are lying about him? To me, that seemed kind of fishy as well.
Yeah, and again, for him to be silent, but, you know, letting his college coach and his sister do the talking, it's just, it's baffling. I don't get it. And you know, a very quick response from Turner. So, you know, sometimes when fans are like, oh, I don't know if players, you know, read into this stuff, and, oh, they're reading, they're watching, you know, they're definitely in tune with what's going on. So I just think even, you know, Turner responding in that case, instead of him saying like, I don't know where it's coming from, he never said that. Instead, he's like, oh, that's how it is. So, I mean, to me, Turner's interaction there kind of confirms that there's at least something, there's some truth to this.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because, you know, Crean's like talking about how he's so excited about this, you know, developing this new relationship with Coach Bjorkren, how they've talked almost every single day, and Coach Nate is really trying to create a relationship with him. And it seems, and according to Jay Michael's article, once again, going back to referencing that was kind of the project when he was hired. You got to figure this thing out. You got to try to get all these guys on the same page. And I think that's why they went with someone that's more positive, someone that's more communicative with their players. And we don't know much about Nate Bjorkren, but I mean, it appears from what we've heard from Coach Crean and Jay Michael that this is what's been happening. And Coach Nate has been doing a good job with that development of that relationship. But now with this article coming out, does that put a damper on things? Does that change things? You know, I don't know, but I will say this, like, Vic could control this. He could put a stop to all of this. But like you said, his radio silence to me is an indicator that he's looking for a reason to get out and he wants to be talked about. I feel like ever since he got injured, he came back. The season was put on hiatus for a couple months because of COVID. They came back to the bubble, and all of a sudden you hear all these, oh, I'm not going to play. I am going to play. We have to listen to that for about a month. You know, every time he's a game time decision, it just, all this constant stuff just seemed like Victor wanted to be in the spotlight, whether it was good or bad. So I think Vic likes when people talk about him in trade rumors. I think Vic likes hearing his name mentioned amongst the other guards. But right now, I think what's frustrating for him is he's realizing that his value is not as high as he probably hoped it would be because of his injury. And so now it's like whatever the Pacers try to do, like they're just kind of stuck because if they make a move before the season starts, they're going to get cents on the dollar. If they play it out through the regular season and Victor's good, then they trade him. Well, then you have a predicament as well because he's still an expiring contract and you're getting him for half a season. What are you really going to get back in return? Probably not a lot, maybe a draft pick, but if it's to a good team, it's not going to be great. So that's why I say it's not going to be that much of a significant difference to the value they get for him. So I don't know. I don't envision him staying here long-term after the season's over.
Yeah, it's very, very possible. And I think the thing that the Pacers do have on their side is a man named Kevin Pritchard. And, you know, Pritchard's not perfect. He's going to make mistakes. You know, TJ Leaf says hi, but anyway, I think,
wow.
I think Kevin Pritchard, he's so trustworthy, so transparent. And in one of his season ending pressers over Zoom, with the media, he mentioned that, you know, as of right now, all I've heard from Vic is that he wants to be here and it'll be up to him. And basically indicating that it'll be up to him to prove he's healthy. And then we would like him to be here, but that'll be his choice. But one thing he did say was at some point we'll have that heart to heart and that sit down and we'll see where things go. So I think Pritchard's good at reading people. And I think in that conversation, he would be able to tell, even, you know, if Vic has given him lip service, if Vic has any kind of hesitation, or if, and what fans have to understand, that the scenario that could still be playing out, even though we don't like how it's playing out, is that Victor is simply, him and his agent are simply trying to position themselves for the best possible offer, whether that's in Indiana or somewhere else. And maybe they're just not handling it very well. But maybe Pritchard in that conversation, that heart to heart, if they haven't had it already, comes away feeling like, yeah, Vic just wants the max contract. Maybe that could be here if he gets back to 2018 form and, you know, the locker room changes to how it was. But if he gets any kind of clue at all that he wants out, if there's any truth to the report and all that good stuff, then Pritchard's going to have to, you know, try to get an under the radar type of trade like he did with Paul George.
Yeah. And I mean, that it really just reminds me of that 16-17 season. Not saying the roster buildup does, but the way that Oladipo is handling things, it just seems like, you know, it seems like he wants to be here, but then it seems like he doesn't. It seems like he wants to win, then it seems like he wants the biggest contract. It's like, I can't really get a good feel for what Victor Oladipo wants and who Victor Oladipo thinks he is. Because personally, it's like, I can understand why Kevin Pritchard would want to, you know, be hesitant on making a move, because at the end of the day, Oladipo is probably the most talented player they're going to get in a trade. You know, I don't think you're going to get anybody better than what Oladipo's potential could be if he does return from health. I don't think that you're going to go out there and get a draft pick that's going to be the next Oladipo. But I will say this, when you got a team that played so well without him last year, you got a coach that's going to modernize things. I mean, to me, and you can argue with me all you want, and I'll listen to you, and we can have a debate, but I don't think Victor Oladipo is good enough to waste your time on this drama. I don't feel like he is a top 20 player right now. He's probably borderline top 40 with, you know, coming back from injury, if he can even come to 80% of himself. There's so many limitations to what he can do. I don't feel like hanging on to him and trying to pay him all this extra money for the headaches that he's caused over the last year and a half, the injury concern. I just feel like he's not worth the investment that I think the Pacers might feel like he is.
Well, it's just unfortunate too, the timing of it all. Like, this is the year that happens to be his contract year. You know, like, for example, if he was signed for two more, you would, you know, be able to afford letting him play one more season. And then, hey, he's back to 2018 form. Okay, sure, maybe he's worth it at that time. But obviously, he's not a max level player at this point. Really look at the season after his breakout year. And, you know, it was not that impressive. He did some good things, but, and yeah, he had, you know, some knee struggles, but, you know, towards the end of that first breakout year and then that next year. So really, you know, parts of two seasons were definitely not max level player. So for me, it was more of the guy, like the person that he was in those couple years, and why all this is even more confusing and more difficult is, you know, the person and the player, the athlete himself, you know, the Hoosier, the hard worker, the leader, bringing the city together, like, man, that package would have been possibly worth considering a max deal for this franchise. But as it stands now, a lot would have to change.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that. And I'm not trying to have an overreaction here. I'm just sitting here looking at things and I'm reading the tea leaves and I'm listening to things for months. I mean, it's been rumored for how many months that he didn't want to be here long-term? We're going on probably close to 7 or 8 now, you know, when all the Miami stuff started, you know, coming out about him and Giannis possibly teaming up as well. So I just don't know what to believe, but I will say, I do think that the rumors are somewhat true. I don't know how, like, oh, I believe everything that was reported. They're like, no, I mean, I think the reports are right, but I don't know the context of everything, but I do think there is some validity to these reports. I do think there is some validity to his excitement to be a part of the new Pacers organization with Coach Bjorkren and heading in a new direction. I just think Victor is unsure of really what he wants to do. And he's kind of caught up in this cat and mice game with what he wants to do. So hopefully we can get an answer, but I just think for the Pacers' sake, it would be in the best interest for the Pacers to just swallow the pill, swallow hard and say, Vic, thanks for your couple years you were here, but it's just time to move on because we can't recover from what just happened and what just went down this past, you know, 8 to 9 months.
Yeah, you're probably right. And it'll really sting if he, you know, goes somewhere for like a second round pick or something and then, you know, regains form and Pacers wonder what if, but at the same time, you know, they have a brand new coaching staff. So the direction that they want to take, you know, they want to begin a long-term process here, who's going to be here. And if they don't think Vic fits that and he's going to be a distraction, then it probably is the safe bet. Just get whatever you can and hope that somehow it's a piece that works for you.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And it appears Kevin O'Connor has come out and said that the Mavericks are looking at, you know, making a run at Victor, maybe Zach LaVine, maybe Spencer Dinwiddie. Well, he said they were, and I think it was quoted that they're chasing after those three. I said, well, they might not have to run very far to get Oladipo, because I don't think that his asking price will probably be as high as what those other two guards' asking price will be, just because of the situation. And yeah, it's a tough decision for Kevin Pritchard, because This is the guy you traded Paul George for. And if you end up trading Oladipo, you know, I know you got some bonus in the deal. Obviously, that's part of it. But if you end up flipping the guy you traded Paul George for a couple role players from Dallas, that's not going to make it feel very good. But at the same time, I think you just want to have a roster that's competitive. We know this roster right now is not a championship-level team. And whether Vic's on it or not, I don't think that really changes their, you know, their pedigree as far as getting a championship.
Yeah, that's probably accurate as well. And one thing for sure is we're going to get a lot of news in a short amount of time. And so that's kind of terrifying, but it's exciting too. I mean, man, how much is going to happen in the next maybe 48 hours, you know, compared in you know, the next 3 weeks or so. 48 yeah. hours to 3 weeks from now. Could be a whole lot of things to talk about in Pacerland, and it'll be interesting.
Yeah, we're about 6 days away, excuse me, from the NBA draft. So I know that's when rumors really start heating up. I don't know when the trade moratorium is lifted. I think it's a few days before. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to be hearing a lot of stuff. Honestly, just sit back. Don't overthink it. Don't get too over emotional about it, because you're going to be hearing a lot of different things. And I think it's just it's that time of year. These GMs haven't been able to make a trade for like 9 months now. So they're itching to shake things up. Players are ready to shake things up because of the offseason being so different. And, yeah, it's 2020. Anything can happen, like Tyler said. So that's kind of the summary, I guess we could say, from everything we've heard today. Anything else, Tyler?
I would just say stay tuned. And, you know, like I said in my article today, you got to – it's 2020, so don't rule anything out. And I haven't. I've still not completely ruled out any scenario for Oladipo at this point.
Yeah, you guys can check out Tyler's article on IndySportsLegends.com, or if you don't want to go to the website, just follow Tyler on Twitter at Tyler_Smith_ISL, and I'm sure you'll find the link to that article in there. Tyler, thanks so much for coming on and talking about this crazy day in Pacer Nation.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody, that wraps it up for today's episode. I know it's a lengthy one, talking about Oladipo only, but I think that's what everybody wants to hear. So let us know what you guys think about Victor Oladipo. What are your thoughts on everything going on right now? Because we'd love to hear it. Thank you so much for listening to Setting the Pace. Give us a nice rating and review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. Please don't leave us any bad ones. If you don't like it, just come to us personally. Our DMs are open on Twitter. But if you could help us out, give us a 5-star rating. That'd be so awesome. We thank each and every one of you for your support. And until next time, let's go Pacers.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.